It's 10 o'clock at Mountain Time, time for Tom and Shane, business and politics. And this morning we're going to talk about free speech. Shane, we got to cover this. But before we do that, we've got to remind you we're here every Tuesday, every Thursday, 10 a.m. Mountain Time. Don't forget to subscribe. Ring the notification bell. You'll be notified no matter what time zone you're in of our next podcast. And like us and leave a comment. They like that kind of stuff. So. And also a reminder, Thursday, we're going to talk about Biden's State of the Union address. So we'll be talking about that on Thursday. But this morning, well, we got to talk about speech. Shane, what speech is free these days? What speech is free? Wow.
Well, it's a big argument here in Canada. We have Alberta, the Crown prosecutor, that's a federal government, it has charged a minister for going to Ottawa during the trucker strike and having a sermon and during COVID, number one, and then, you know, telling them that, you know, don't give up, you know, you're entitled to your rights, and contributed $500 or some amount to, you know, a fund being put together to support them. And now he faces potentially 10 years in prison because the Canadian government sent federal Crown prosecutors to arrest him and charge him. The trial has started; should be completed by March, and he could get 10 years in jail. Your situation is bad, but our government, as you know, is going at it. Now you have to compare what you're talking about to January 6th. I mean, talking about an absolute abuse of criminal rights under your constitution, even a speedy trial. We're 2 years out and people are still in solitary confinement in, Washington, D.C. prison for it and haven't even been charged with anything.
Yeah, how's that work?
I don't know. It's your country. Yeah, you tell me. I want to know. Get up on your soapbox and for God's sake, explain to me and everyone how that works, you know?
Yeah. Isn't there a habeas corpus or you got to be charged right to a speedy trial, all that kind of crap?
And it's even in other languages like Latin.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, too, of course, is it's no secret, social media censorship. Anything you put up on... anything you put up online is fact checked by some guy in his underwear in his parents' basement, and says, "Oh, we got that on there. Well, we got to put a fact check on that. That's no good. Can't be doing that." So, you know, censorship and free speech has come in conflict here, Shane, pretty badly in the recent year and a half, ever since the Trump election, I guess.
Yeah, and one of the sad things about what we're talking about here is a result of an article written yesterday about a group of Catholic students, pro-life students from South Carolina that went to the Smithsonian Institute in Washington, D.C., and actually the National Air and Space Museum, which is the largest one. Great place. Been there a number of times. It's so big.
And they were there for the March for Life, attracted millions of people. So that's why they were there.
And they have what we call a toque, a cap.
It's a stocking cap.
Yeah, we call it a toque.
They call it a beanie. And to my way of thinking, a beanie's like a Yamaha with a propeller on it. You know, I mean, but. These are stocking caps, you know, that you wear in cold weather.
They say that, 60% of the heat of your body comes off your head. So anyway, in Canada, we call them toques, and it says Rosary Pro-Life on it. Mm-hmm. And this apparently upset a lot of people, and they were told to leave because of wearing the pro-life cap, which is interesting because they weren't making any demonstration or commotion because it's a museum. It's like a library. You can't make any noise or talk in it. I mean, you can whisper,
Yeah.
But, you know, you can't, you're not supposed to be noisy in a museum.
Yeah, if they were running around chanting pro-life, yeah, and had exactly. banners and had signs and everything else, but all they had was a small thing embroidered on their hats, and some of the employees at the Smithsonian, I guess, took offense and kicked them out.
Yeah.
And, you know, now the government is writing to the head of the Smithsonian, what's going on? Are you going to discipline these employees? Because, you know, now I realize that people wear t-shirts with all kinds of crap on them, Shane, you know, go everywhere. They may be a scene. They may not be, but, you know, if you wore a pro-life t-shirt, are they going to kick you out for, you know, for wearing that? I mean, it's your opinion on, you know, it's your feeling about, something that is in society.
And it's really quite amazing because, you know, the Smithsonian is a major institution. In fact, yeah. it's probably one of the most, it's probably the freest one that nobody's demonstrated or used to. I mean, the original Smithsonian building was the castle. You know, James Renwick designed it, opened in 1846. And in 1881, the U.S. government started to provide additional funds. It now includes 17 buildings in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, that's a big place.
It's a $1 billion plus budget. And the National Air and Space Museum is the biggest one. I mean, the only other museum in the world bigger is the Louvre. And, you know, that's 73,000 square feet for, you know, a castle for a couple of people to live in. Nice place.
Yeah. Well, you know, what we're talking about is your opinion on topic of the day is that hate speech. Apparently to these employees at the Smithsonian, anybody showing up with anything with pro-life written on it, this was an insult to them. And, you know, they took it upon themselves, not as representatives of the Smithsonian, but took it upon themselves to remove these people or tell them, you know, you're not welcome here with those hats on, you know, either take them off or get out. And, you know, to these kids' credit, you know, they were there for the pro-life march. And, you know, I mean, they didn't just show up to walk around Washington, D.C. with pro-life hats on, you know, as some kind of a minor demonstration. They were there as part of a mass demonstration. The millions of people were there. So, I don't know.
Right. You know, over a million people visit this museum every year and the other ones.
Well, and the march, too.
No, but I mean the Smithsonian.
Yeah, I know.
I'm keying on that because this is a great example of the collapse of free space within the institutions of your country. Because somebody in management, either in that specific building or overall, sent out a message saying, any pro-life people, you know, that come in, throw them out. But you've got to wonder, the people that were chosen or instructed to, you know, get rid of them. You know, most people in security are conservative, right? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a bunch of woke liberal weakers that are going to sign up for security. So it must have made it uncomfortable for those people that had, you know, were saying, go escort them out, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder if they have pepper spray, they're ready, or, you know.
Well, I wonder if they would have come in with pro-choice hats, would they be thrown out?
Well, that's exactly right. And we know the answer to that, of course, because that's why we're talking about it. It wouldn't have been, you know. And, of course, you know, if they were running around with a flag, you know, that said pro-life on it, like they have for football, you know, games, you know, or basketball games on the court or the field, you know, that would have been really terrible.
Yeah.
It's a remarkable thing because the size of the museum, and again, this is an example of any case like this in both our countries where people gather, the size of the museum, you know, like, there's no way they could have offended anyone.
I was going to say, you have to, you know, I saw the hats they had, the stocking caps, and you had to be within, I would say, less than 10 feet to read what was on the what was on the hats.
That's right, because it wasn't that big, you know.
Yeah.
We never heard anything about this with people that walked in there, you know, with Trump or MAGA hats anything else. So all of a sudden it becomes an interesting thing. And you know, this wasn't specifically our topic, but here's an example of free speech. The abortion issue. Now, Gallup's been keeping a poll since 74, yeah. All right? And they started in 72 with Roe versus Wade. Now, your media would have everybody tell you that 85% of Americans are in favor of abortion. Well, that's not true. That's not what the poll is. Now, 50% of the people in America, men and women, do think abortion for any reason should be allowed. It should be legal. But 35% say only in specific conditions. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, 13 to 15% say no abortion at all.
Yeah.
But I bring this up as an example of free speech because no one can speak to it because they mislead you. And that's the problem with this whole issue is free speech is so important that we all have the free ability to discuss or express our thoughts. All of a sudden, you're going to limit anybody's ideas to where they're going to step back and hide their discoveries, hide their imagination, their inventions, out of fear, of being stripped of their free speech.
Yeah. Well, I can understand if somebody, came in with a T-shirt saying, I hate Trump, or let's go Brandon, or, pick your
poison
thing. But those are political statements. Pro-life or pro-choice is not political.
No, it's personal.
As much as they want to make it political, it's not.
No, it's not.
It's not a political statement. It is a personal statement of your belief for yourself. And these kids believed for themselves, not anybody else. They believe, hey, I put a thing on and says, I'm pro-life. Okay. So what are you going to throw me out of a place because I expressed my opinion?
Right. And they have no recourse to this because it's a government institution. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, it's like, was there a sign out front? You know, no beanies with political expression allowed.
Political attire.
That's right. how would they know that they wouldn't be welcomed? I did to the Smithsonian Institute site, and it's huge, and it's not easy to find. But rules and guidelines, and scheduling are all there, and there's nothing in there about it. There's nothing in there about a personal or political expression, being expressed on clothing. And that's all this was, And it really wasn't that, football players. It's like football players on the back of their helmet says, choose love, what's that? They should be escorted out of the building.
I think so. Yeah, because they're showing me something I don't like. I want those helmets
that's
off.
Right.
I want them out of the damn stadium.
Right. That's personally offensive to me.
That's
throw
right.
them out.
Yeah, let's get them the hell out of here.
It's particularly difficult to. When everything that we've faced in the last 5 years, because you really have to go 5 years because it's 23 now,
yeah,
to 2018, halfway through Trump's presidency, 5 years, because there's so much that will be happening in the next 2 years. I mean, my goodness, it's 23, and in 2 years, your country's going to be 250 years old.
Yeah,
so that's a long time. And of course, 25, you're going to have nothing but the celebration of your anniversary.
Of course.
For people to talk about. And then people are going to want to start looking at this 5 years. And I think even 2 years from now, looking back, it's going to be terrible because you saw the article now in the New York Times, the gray lady, they finally admitted to it. The only one who didn't was the Washington Post. Yeah. Everybody admitted they were wrong about Russiagate, wrong about Trump, wrong about all, and that they misled every, and they actually called themselves out for the first time.
Yeah.
So now the curtain's up. The little guy, and he is a little old guy, you know, behind the curtain, is in serious trouble. He's got a problem.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, speeches, you know, I guess I can yell fire in an empty theater and nothing will happen to me. So that's a good thing.
Well, that's amazing you said that, because when they interviewed this minister in Alberta, that's exactly what he said. The Crown prosecutor's argument is, you know, it's tantamount to him crying fire in a theater. And he said, well, if there's a fire in a theater, you'd get up and yell fire.
I was going to say, I think you're going to yell fire if there's an actual fire.
So all I did was get up and say, God bless all of you. Let's do a mass and, you know, keep up the good fight for your freedom. I stood up and said is freedom, and now you're persecuting me. So there's a horrific example of free speech. And, of course, we know from history that dictatorships and socialism, communism, all of it came from, you know, squashing the individual. And it's happening in countries around the world. I mean, Assad of Syria, look what he did to his country, and he's still running it. And so it's a very scary reality. Very, very scary.
Yeah. Well, speech is definitely something that we take very seriously. It is the very First Amendment. Speech shall not be infringed, as they say. We are supposed to have the ability to speak our minds. And what it comes down to now is are you speaking your mind correctly, politically correctly? That's the issue. That's the big problem.
We wouldn't have the opportunity to do this show that you and I do if it wasn't for free speech, because, in 90% of the world, people can't do this.
I mean,
the social network is huge globally, and yet 90% of the people can't do this. 70% of the people in the globe of 8 billion are blocked from 95% of the internet and this incredible thing that exists. So, the lack of free speech on a global basis is huge. I mean, it's not tiny.
It is. Big. Well, even in China, they limit how long kids can be online and, you know, what they look at or what they use. And I would guess the fact checkers over there are off the charts. I'm gonna say nothing's gonna show up about G or any of his cohorts. So
you have to imagine when you see movies that show you security centers, like for subway systems in a city or cameras in London. You know, London's got the most cameras of any city in the world, 12 million. But 12 million have to come to some central location or locations.
Yeah, somebody's got to look at the screen.
Right. So there's got to be in London, there's got to be several thousand people,
looking at
100 screens each or more.
Yeah.
So in that context, you go, oh my goodness, this is a relevant conversation, because with government's sway over our personal lives. With their intervention with our personal lives, with their say in our personal lives, and with their security watching us and our personal lives, this is getting chopped down a little bit at a time.
Yeah. Well, that's where we find ourselves here. Speech is only where it's allowed, Shane. You go on social media, you want to say something, only if they allow you to say it. And here we have the ability to say what we think. We can call out governments. We can call out individuals. We can call out demonstrations or anti-demonstrations or whatever. And that's why we're here, for one, just for that reason, that we we want to exercise our free speech, and it's our God-given right.
Truly.
Yeah.
I mean, that is life. Mm-hmm. And secularists believe in the greatness of mankind, and they don't have any belief in any God. Mm-hmm. So they don't believe in the greater good. If you don't believe in God, yeah, and the preachings of our Lord, my Savior, Jesus Christ, who told us that, you know, there's two mm-hmm. things you need to know. One, you're loved, and two, you're forgiven. So if you can love and forgive, it's a great practice in your life. But if you have people that are secularists and don't believe in any of that,
yeah,
and think only of the greater good of man and that he can solve all the problems, all of a sudden, you're finding trouble. Yourself in trouble from the context of no freedoms at all.
Amen. So, well, freedom of speech, we've talked about it ad nauseum this morning, Shane. And let's say get some comments. Bruce thinks Senator Daines got booted on Tweaker this morning for posting a hunting picture. Oh my God! Where does it end, Shane? Post a hunting picture. He's in Montana.
The night he got elected to the Senate, I was at his celebration party. And I actually was the first to step to the stage and shake his hand and say, I'm proud to say congratulations, Senator-elect, Mr. Daines, right?
Yeah.
And I've known him for a very long time, like your governor, because of mm-hmm. my sister introduced me to these men. And he's got just a terrific family. And I get hunting pictures from him. I get pictures of them out in the wild together. They're outside. Yeah. They're people.
We're in Montana.
I know.
We're in Montana. You know.
Thank God it's the big sky country, because that's the only place you could have seen that balloon is in the sky.
Well, yeah, we saw it here because there's nothing in the way.
That's right. It's just a giant sky, of course. You know.
Jesus.
It's incredible. So anyway, you're right, Bruce. It's pretty redunculous. Especially coming from people who probably never even fired a weapon before.
Yeah, that's where we lose everybody. All right, we got to remind everybody, the award-winning Tom and Shane, we're on live on radio every mm-hmm. Saturday. You can hear us anywhere in the world, KMMSAM.com. All you got to do is click listen now. Nothing to join, no email, no sign up, no nothing. And our other shows, the rebroadcasts of all our shows, including this one, are at KMMSAM.com. Just click on Tom and Shane's podcast, and you'll be taken to all of our podcast video and audio as well. So, wow, it's a deal. It's a deal. You can't beat it. I mean,
we have our own library. It's, we're big, like the Smithsonian.
Over 10,000
of shows.
Oh yeah, over 10,000 downloads of our shows also. Yeah. So by all means, get over there and
we're
do
rocking,
it. So
man.
That's going to wrap it up for us. Thanks for everybody for joining us. Hey, don't forget to subscribe. Ring the notification bell. You'll be notified of our next podcast anywhere you are, any time zone, anywhere in the world. And like us, leave a comment. Let us know what you think of the show. Also, let us know if there's anything you would like for us to cover in the future. So that's all from us. We'll see you on the next podcast on Thursday.